Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That's pigs. If you don't know what a swine is, that's pigs. And that was unclean to a Jewish person. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring upon his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, and I read all of that to get to this point here tonight. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. Don't those words feel so comforting here tonight? Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Or everything I've got is yours, son. And you're going to be here from now on. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Praise God. I just want to talk to us here tonight, and you call it whatever you like, but I'll just talk about walking in plenty tonight. Amen. Because God has plenty for us. The Lord has a desire for his people. Praise God. It's not a church attendance relationship, and I believe in faithful attendance to the house of God. I do. Not because I'm the pastor, but I was always, always faithful to the house of God unless very sick. Amen. Because there's something about the house of God. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, what we need to know is how to walk in plenty. Praise God. Because all that he has is ours. Did you know the Bible says that we have an inheritance? We are joint heirs with Christ. I don't understand that. He is the eldest brother, if you please. Amen. And all that he has is going to belong to us someday. What he's looking for is somebody that just walks in that understanding and let the world go the way it wants to go, but I'm going to live for God. Amen. I'm going to walk with God. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of truth. We thank you for your presence. Anoint the word of God and speak to us in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. Praise God. What we've got to do is we've got to understand the love of God. Because it is the love of God that is essential for us to walk in the good way and to walk in the walk of faith and to fight the good fight of faith. We're not going to fight for something that we don't feel like loves us. Amen. We're not going to be excited about a relationship if we don't feel loved. Amen. But what we have to feel and understand, not just feel, but understand, is that our Heavenly Father loves us. He loves us so much. He is crazy about His church, if I could say it that way. He loves people so very much that He came and gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. If God sees and marks in His book somewhere when a sparrow falls, how much more are we worth, amen, to God Himself? Praise the Lord. He said that He knows how many hairs are upon our head, and because of that, we should have confidence, and we need to walk as King's kids. Praise God. I'm not poor and naked. Amen. I am a child of the King tonight. And all that He has is mine. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. And we could go into the story of this wayward son here tonight. That seems to always be the focus or the focal point of this story. But what we could look at here tonight is what was in the heart of these two boys. Amen. One of them was the elder's son, and he was faithful in the house. Amen. The other was the wayward son, who always had his eye out on the world, always wanting to leave the house and go and do something that's more exciting in his life. One was a faithful servant, and the other was a backslider in his heart. And in fact, if you look into the Word of God tonight, you'll find a mention of the backslider. It says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Amen. In other words, a good man is the one who is satisfied, who is content to be in the Father's house and to do the Father's will. But the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. Amen. And so in the heart of this wayward son, he was filled with his own ways. Now, hear this tonight. It wasn't the chores that drove this young man away. It wasn't the commandments of his father that drove him away. It wasn't the grind of doing the same chores every day that drove him away. It wasn't the rules of his father or the hardness of the work. It was a selfish attitude that was in his heart. Amen. He was a backslider in heart. And dear God, you know I pray for our backslidden people. Amen. That somehow, somewhere, they will come back to know God. And they will come back to the truth and live for God. That they will come back to the house of their father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Well, praise God. And that is the will of God. It really is. It's not His will that any should perish. And that includes the backslider. But the backslider is a backslider because he is filled with his own ways. And in the heart of this young man, there was one thing. It wasn't the lights that was out here somewhere. It It wasn't the things that had to go on at home every day that he despised. He probably loved his father, but something got a hold of him. And when that something gets a hold of you, I want you to know tonight, you better rise up and run to the altar and get it out of your spirit. Praise God. And that thing that rose up within him that caused him to leave his father's house was himself. Amen. He only thought of himself. He only thought of what he wanted and what he desired. Amen. What the flesh was telling him that would make him happy. And I want was spoken often in his heart. And I desire, because his father was a good father, and this is so very true. You can have a good father, and children will go wayward. Amen. Sometimes it is because they are so used to growing up with plenty. Amen. Yeah, there's chores to do around the house. Yes, there are things that we have to do because Father says that we have to do these things. But I feel like I'm really good because I'm in my Father's house. You know, it's true that some people are very good at what they do, and it's easy to think that it is easy to do. They just have the talent and the ability. But give it a try. Amen. Some people are very good at playing a guitar. But don't ask me to get up and play a guitar. Amen. I can play it pretty good, but not that good. Like some folks that just pick it out and you just sit there mesmerized. They make it look easy. It just flows so simply. But give it a try and you'll find out it's different on the other side of things. The Father's house was blessed because the Father had done a lot of work himself before this son came along. Before his eldest son came along, there was a lot of work that had to be done. There was probably generations of people, and in fact, it was a story in Jesus' day. And so from the time they entered into the promised land, it was great, 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 great grandpa, and then great, great grandpa, and great grandpa, and grandpa, who had done this and done that and improved the property and built it up and started from scratch. And here he was, the youngest son. And he looked around at all of this and he said, oh, I can do this somewhere else. I can leave here and I can have the same blessings or more. The father worked so hard. Grandma or grandpa and, well, yeah, grandma too. Everybody worked together until we got what we had here. But I think I've got a better way. I think there's an easier way to get what I want. And that word, I want, passed through his mind time and time and time again. Until, as I would say tonight, it became his song. It became something that was in his heart. And when he looked out the window, he didn't see his heritage. He didn't see his inheritance, but he saw the lights of that faraway land and began to fantasize of the good times that he would have. Amen. Began to fantasize and begin to think about, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. But those of you that are of any age at all here tonight, when you get into that fantasy world and you begin to look at things and say, oh, this is the way it's going to be, don't do that because you're making a big mistake. There's not a one of us that knows the future. There's not a one of us that knows what our steps are going to be. Instead of saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, we ought to humble ourselves and say, not my will, but thy will be done. Instead of an attitude that says, I want, amen, we need to have the attitude that says, Lord, what do you want? Amen. What is your will, Father? Amen. What is your desire for today and for the rest of my life? And I'll tell you what, your Father knows best. Amen. I'm not necessarily talking about your earthly father, because we're human and we make mistakes, but we're talking about our heavenly Father. Amen. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. And if we will just look out the window and see our inheritance instead of looking at the lights of that faraway land, we will be greatly blessed. Somebody said amen. Amen. Finally, the day came when he probably began to talk to his elder brother and began to say, you know what, I'm just not happy here. And I can just imagine, I've been there so many times. Not that I am the example tonight, but I've been there so many times before. And I've seen those that started out with the Lord and were so excited. And they began to go around and talk to other people. I was in another church, the church in the Springs, and one other man come up to me after we had been there for a while, and I guess he felt like he could talk to me, and he began to run the church down. He began to talk about the pastor, and he began to have questions, and I want you to come over to the house. I just want somebody to talk to. Sounds so innocent, and it sounds, reasonable, but I said, you know what? There was a check in the Holy Ghost that I felt, and I said, you know, there's one person that you need to talk to about this, and that's the pastor. If you've got questions and you've got things that you're that's in your heart, then you need to go and talk to the man of God that God put here in this place. I said, look around you, look around you. I said, this did not happen by chance, but it happened because of the will of God. You're in a good place, sir. Amen. Stay where you're at. Amen. Modify the way you look at things and be happy. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Is anybody happy tonight? I'm happy because I've got an inheritance. I'm happy tonight because I'm in the Father's house. Praise God. I'm happy because I have an inheritance. And it's not an inheritance that I have worked for necessarily, but it is an inheritance that He worked for. Amen. That He came to this world and shed His precious blood for you and I so that we could be one of those that would inherit the blessings of God forever. Praise the Lord. What do you see tonight when you look out the window of the kingdom of God? What do you see tonight when you look out the window of the church? Amen. Do you see nothing but problems and trouble, or do you see that God has given us plenty? Amen. Do you see that all that He has is ours? Amen. That what he has worked for, amen, He is willing to share with you and I. Praise God. He's willing to share the Holy Ghost with us tonight. That's Himself. That's an earnest of the Spirit. He's willing to share that with us. He's willing to share the wisdom of the Word of God. Oh, it's just another message. No, it's not just another message. It's the Word of God. And when we get a hold of an understanding of what we have tonight, it should and will modify, amen, the way we think and we live. Praise God. Probably went to his eldest brother and said, you know what, I'm just not happy. And I think I know and I feel the feeling that the elder brother had within him when first his brother brought up a subject. There was probably fear that rose up in his heart, in the eldest brother's heart. Oh my brother's starting to develop something here that's not good. And maybe he tried to talk to his younger brother and said, hey, listen, I want to talk to you. And he talked to him. And yet it began to grow. And it became more and more frequent that the younger brother, conjecturing here tonight, but that means I'm guessing, praise the Lord. But Day by day, it got worse and worse. Month by month, it got worse and worse. Until, I've just got to get out of here. I've just got to go somewhere else. I've got to go where it's exciting. I'm tired of feeding the chickens. Amen. I'm tired of feeding the cattle. I'm tired of going out and tending the sheep in the field. I'm just tired of the routine of going day by day by day by day. We never have any fun. And he just began to build upon it. And that elder brother probably reached out to him in love because there was a quality within that elder brother, amen, that was faithful. There was a quality in him that he understood the gravity of what was beginning to take place in his younger brother. There was something in him. He understood that he had an inheritance. He understood what it was all about. He understood that there would be difficulties and there would be monotonous times. There would be times when the lions would come and kill some of the sheep and they would suffer loss. Amen. He knew what it was to pick up the pieces and go on and just continue with his father in the father's house. But his little brother didn't have that. And he said, I want what's mine. I'm out of here. And it was a tragic day when the words were finally spoken. I'm just telling you tonight, you can't think those thoughts for very long until they come to a place of fruition. Until they come to a place, amen, where there is a decision that is made. You can't be in the house of God and dabble with the world and come back and worship God and talk in tongues. Amen. And then go back out again and come back and go back. There's going to be a day when one is going to win over the other. Jesus said you cannot serve God and the world at the same time because you'll fall in love with one. And listen to this. He said you will hate the other. Can I say tonight the younger brother got to the place where he hated his father's house, where he was willing to walk away, and in the day that Jesus was talking about, when a younger son, or any son for that matter, left his father's house like this, and he was given his inheritance, he was given the portion that was his, that actually they would have a funeral for him. And he would no longer be a part of the family, not because they hated him, but because he hated his family. That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. And that's why when he came home, the father said, your brother, which was dead, is now alive. Because they had had that funeral for him as though he was dead. Amen. And when the younger brother left, there was something in the heart of the older brother, several things I'm sure that was in his heart. I know I've been down this road many times. I know because some of you have been down this road. You've worked really hard. Amen. You've done it with the right spirit and the right attitude. Amen. You've done it because you love God and you want to go to heaven. Amen. You love the church. You love the house of God. You love the Father's house. But sometimes when the younger brother leaves and takes everything, all of a sudden the bank account of the Father's house goes down because all of that money was given to him. And not only that, but now the greater burden rests upon the older brother now. Now it's not just doing his regular chores. Now he's got to pick up the pieces and he's got to carry the burden that his younger brother carried. And it would have been easy for him to have an attitude, and actually he did develop an attitude. He did not really understand at this point in time completely how much his father loved him. But it is at times like this, amen, times when others are not willing to commit and not willing to sacrifice and not willing to give, amen, but are there in the Father's house that when they leave, amen, it places an extra burden upon the rest of the body. Amen. Don't tell me that when a foot gets cut off that it does not affect the entire body. Don't tell me if a little toe gets cut off that it doesn't affect the entire body. It really does. Amen. And it was this way in this house, in the Father's house. Praise God. And so when the younger brother left, I can just see that the older brother said, well, if that's the way he wants to go, then that's the way he's going to go. And, you know, there comes a time, and it was this way in this elder brother's heart. He thought, what a foolish brother I've got. What a foolish young man. He's got so much and he's walking away from it and doesn't even care. Doesn't seem to care about me. Doesn't seem to care about mom and dad. Doesn't seem to care about anything. The only thing he's got in his heart is himself. It wasn't the lights, it wasn't the fun, but it was blessing himself. Amen. Did you know that most of the sins that we commit are because we're selfish? Amen. Because we only want what we want, and if I don't get what I want, I'm out of here. Amen. More and more in our society, it's becoming prevalent, amen, with the selfies. I'm not against selfies, but we're in a selfie generation. We're in a snowflake generation that doesn't know the value or the experience of hard labor, amen, and work to get what you want. No, because grandma and grandpa, great, 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 great grandpa, and everyone from there until now has labored to get you what you have. Praise God. And you're enjoying the blessings of many generations. Well, praise the Lord. You're enjoying the blessings of generations of mom and dad that sacrificed just for you so you could have, amen, a better life than what they had. I'm telling you tonight, don't take what you have for granted. Amen. It came with a lot of hard work. It came with a lot of faithfulness. It came with consistency. Praise God. It came with that kind of a spirit and attitude. I'm thankful tonight I've got a car to drive. But the reason I've got a car to drive is because there was one day when a pilgrim came across this land with a horse, with horses, a team of horses, amen, and a covered wagon. And they said, we think we can build something here. And they labored and didn't see any results of their labor. But their children picked it up, and their children picked it up. And finally, we're where we are at today because of the labor of many people. Many millions of Americans have died on foreign soil, amen, in the wars that faced us. But we're here tonight with freedom. I'm thankful for our veterans tonight. I'm thankful for those people that are in uniform. I had one of the police officers just the other day. He saw me over at Dillon's, and he come walking up to me with a big smile on his face, and he said, Happy New Year. And we exchanged a few words, and I told him, I said, we appreciate what you're doing. Amen. Because of these men and women, we can enjoy freedom. But it is not a freedom. Hear me tonight. It is not a freedom to call them pigs. Amen. It's not a freedom, amen, to put them down and to criticize them. It is not a liberty and a freedom, amen, to do just whatever we want to do, and they have to pay the price, amen. They have to haul us off to jail, or they have to deal with our problems at midnight. No, I'm telling you what, we ought to be thankful, and we ought to be able to say, ask not what the church can do for me, but what I can do for the church. Praise God. I'm not asking tonight what God can do for me, but I'm asking God, what can I do for you? Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know if I'm getting through here tonight, but I'm telling you what, we've got a great heritage. We have got a great inheritance tonight. Praise God. And I appreciate what God has done for me. Anybody else appreciate what God has done for you? Praise the Lord. And so he left. And I read that tonight. He left and he went out and he wasted his living with harlots. Everywhere he went, everybody knew him by his first name because he had a pocket full of money. Amen. He had a pocket full of gold. And wherever he went, they knew he was going to just spend it loosely. And everybody wanted him to invest in this or gamble on this. And oh, he was really feeling good for a while. You know, that's just the way it is. Feeling good for a while, but then all of a sudden reality hits. Hear me tonight. All of a sudden you get a phone call and that little girlfriend that you've got says, I'm with child. And you're going to pay me so much every week or you're going to jail. All of a sudden reality hits and there's a knock on the door and the police say, we've traced it down to you. Come with us, please. And all of a sudden there's no more freedom. All of a sudden there's no more joy. All of a sudden everything seems to be just wiped out in the moment of time. And you find yourself in the pig pen. Find yourself feeding the hogs. The most detestable thing that you could ever imagine. Amen. The most horrible thing that you could ever imagine. Amen. And there you are feeding the hogs, slopping around. The Bible says they put shoes on his feet. I got a feeling that he was without shoes when he came home. Probably walked home without any shoes and his shirt was torn. His ribs were showing because he was so hungry. He would have eaten the husks. That's corn cobs. Amen. How would you like to have corn cobs for breakfast? He would have loved to have had corn cobs for breakfast. Amen. But some of you won't eat breakfast unless it's Captain Crunch. Amen. Some of you won't eat breakfast unless it's fixed just a very certain way. Well, I'm just not going to have that. I'm not going to eat that. You're going to have to fix it the way I want to fix it. And I understand we're picky and all of that. But I'm telling you what, we've got to modify our attitude about living for God. Amen. I've got to modify this spirit that is within me and say, God, if you decide to give me something else for breakfast, I'll just be happy with it. Amen. I'm telling you, I grew up in a house and I know there are times when mom fixes something that you don't really like. But I'm telling you what, you got to realize where that came from. Amen. And smile and go ahead and eat it anyway. And don't turn your nose up. And well, praise God. Here I go, preaching to the young people again. Amen. And turn your nose up and say, I don't want that. I'm not going to eat that. When in reality, your dad had to work several hours to buy the groceries that week. Amen. Had to go through a lot of grief and trouble just so that you could have that plate and that bowl and the milk and the sugar and all of those things. Amen. There had to be a mother that spent some time fixing that for you. Amen. And I'm telling you what, we ought to be thankful for what we have. We ought to understand where it came from. Praise God. Instead of being filled with our own way, it's either my way or the highway. Oh, it's only God's way. Amen. It's God's way. That's the thing that's most important than anything. It is God's way. Praise the Lord. And so his eldest brother, or rather, he came home. He decided, I'm coming home. Thank God he was coming home. In the heart of every parent, there is love. There is love for your children. And it defies logic. I'm not going to try to explain it tonight. Your children can hurt you more in doing things, but when they come around, love rises back up again. It's like an addiction, praise the Lord. Because They don't know what it was like when they were 2 years old, or when they were 9 months old or a year old, and they took their first steps. And we clapped and we cheered them on. Praise God. They don't remember those days, but we remember those days. We know what it was like growing up. Amen. We know. And he came home, and there was the love of his father. He saw him coming. He recognized that way that his son walked. He recognized the features far off. And the Bible says he ran to him. The father ran to him. God will run to us. Praise God. And he grabbed him, and he threw his face into his neck. And he said, "Son, it's so good to see you. I've been thinking about you every day." And his son, oh, what a powerful message that is. He said, "Father, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant, and I'll be happy for the rest of my life." And the father put the robe on him. Amen. Praise God. Don't ever get to the place where you don't think God loves you. Don't ever get to the place where you feel like you've done so much wrong that God will never receive you back. He will receive you back. But in order to receive you back, see, the father could have sent some men into that country to say, "Go watch for him and bless him and give to him." No, the father let him go. Praise God. He didn't send him away with a cell phone that he paid for. He didn't send him away with enough money to pay his rent. Amen. He didn't send him away and say, "I'm going to give you everything you need. Just go ahead. Try to find yourself." No, he didn't do that. He just stayed home and worked on the things of his kingdom until the son came to himself. Dear God, help us to come to ourselves. Amen. And he came to himself and he said, "Father, I'm no more worthy to be your son." But he got him a robe and he got shoes and got him cleaned up and gave him a haircut. Amen. And made him presentable and killed the fatted calf. This was for special occasions. The fatted calf was for rejoicing and good times. And he killed the fatted calf. And they began to be merry. Oh, what a wonderful time it was. Resurrection has taken place. My son, which was dead, is now alive. Praise God. What a joy it was. He's come back and he recognizes the error of his way. He hasn't come back and blamed us for all of his troubles. Amen. He didn't blame his father. He didn't blame his brother. He didn't blame anybody because he was smart enough to realize that the problem was within himself. Well, praise the Lord. And his eldest brother came in from feeding the chickens that his younger brothers used to feed. He came in sweaty, tired, worn out from the day. And he heard music. And he heard laughter and singing. He heard, sounded like a party going on. Now, wait a minute, I've been out here working. I never heard anything about a party. I didn't know that there was something going on in here. And they came in, or he came up to the house and asked one of the servants, "What's going on? What's happening?" He said, "Your brother's come back, and your father has killed the fatted calf, and they're having a party. They're praising and they're thanking God." They didn't even tell the younger or the older son that it was taking place. They just waited for him to come up to the house. And the Bible says he was angry. And he wouldn't go into the house. He was angry. And so his father came out to him. He said, "Son, come on in. Let's have a party. Let's rejoice together. Your brother. And all of a sudden in his mind, yeah, that brother, I've been laboring under the load of his work. That brother that shamed our family. that brother that did those things that should not be done, I'm not going in. All this time I've been faithful to you. Hear this tonight. All this time I've been faithful to you. All this time I've labored for you. I did not transgress your commandments. I did what you said was the right thing to do, Dad. I've never spoken evil of you, but I've worked hard. And the father never discounted that. He knew this young man was a faithful son. And he said, son, your brother was dead and now he's alive. It was the right thing to do to rejoice in his coming back. But then he said, son, all that I have is yours. Praise God. Don't be discouraged. Amen. Don't be downtrodden because of what's happening over here with your brother. Well, praise the Lord. Don't be downtrodden and be upset if this person over here did not do the will of God and now you've got to suffer in part because of what they've done. No, no, I'm telling you what, the love of the Father was still there. The love of the Father and the provisions of the Father were just as real, amen, as it was before that younger brother left the house. Amen. It's not who's in the house or who isn't in the house. Jesus said, if two come together, I'm going to be in the midst of them. There's more than two here tonight. And everything that God has, he has given to his church. I think it's time we stand up, not stand up literally, but stand up and thank God in our heart. Amen. That what he has made available to you and I. Praise God. Praise God. And we should not be to the point where it's all just labor. Amen. Where it's all labor. It's not labor. Praise God. He should have went to his father and said, Father, I want to have a party. Let's kill the fatted calf, Father. And let's call all our friends and let's have a good time together. You know what his father would have said? He would have said, all right, son, you're a faithful son. Let's do it. Praise God. Let's do it. Amen. Let's spend a little bit. Let's take some time off and let's have a good old time. Praise God. Sometimes we come into the house of God weary from the work in the field. Amen. And we come into the house of God weary with all the things that we're doing in our life. And we come with our head down and we leave with our head down. When all the while there is a fatted calf out there in the stall. Amen. There's bread aplenty. There's all sorts of dressings that go along with it. And the Father's just waiting to see if somebody wants to have a party. Praise God. Because it's not going to diminish his kingdom. It's not going to diminish anything that he has. There's going to be a 10,000 fatted calves that he could have because he owns it all. Praise God. Praise God. It's not costing God anything for us to have a good time in his presence. Amen. We need to come and say every time, Father, would you kill the fatted calf? I believe tonight God can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I believe God is a healing God tonight. I believe that God is able to lift us up into revival. Amen. Well, praise God. Some of you don't believe it tonight because you're coming with your head down and you're leaving with your head down. But all that we have, all that he has is ours. You can be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to take much more time here. But the Bible, this is what the Bible says. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now listen to this. For whom he did foreknow. That's you and I. Amen. Everybody here tonight, he foreknew you. You know what that means? He knew you before you were you. He knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb. Well, praise the Lord. Just think about that and it'll blow your mind into a million pieces. I cannot comprehend that. He foreknew us. he also did predestinate, not salvation, but to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. There it is, the firstborn. You know who got the inheritance, the bulk of the inheritance? It was the firstborn. It was the firstborn. Praise the Lord. So whom he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the will of God right there. We talked about the will of God a little bit this morning. But God has a purpose and a plan for everyone that's here tonight. And when he foreknew you, those that he foreknew, he predestinated a plan for your life. Praise the Lord. And you can read about that predestined plan, the ultimate of that predestined plan, in the book of Revelation, where it talks about John in the Spirit, and he saw a multitude that no man could number. And they were in white robes. And the angel said, "Who are these people?" And John said, "You know." And he said, "These are they which have come out of great tribulation. And they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Somebody give me a good Baptist nod tonight. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. And all I can think about is feeding the chickens tomorrow. All I can think about is giving the dog some food. All I can think about is going out and tending those sheep. Well, that other younger brother, you know, there was something about him. He was willing to get a hold of some of the things that his father had. That was one good attribute of this young man. There wasn't many more, but that was a good attribute of him. Praise God. I'm not going to come. I'm not going to come to church and just sit like a bump on a dill pickle. Ribbit. Praise the Lord. Walk out the door. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. There's so much more in God tonight. You say, "You don't understand." I tell you, the Father understands what you're going through. Amen. He predestinated us according to his image. Amen. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And so you remember when the day that God called you? Many are called, but few are chosen. My pastor used to say, many are cold, but few are frozen. Praise the Lord. Many are called, but few are chosen. Did you know that when somebody knocked on your door and invited you to church, that was the call of God? But before that knock came on the door of your house, before anybody ever picked you up and brought you to church, he knew your name. And he had a plan worked out. And those that he called, he justified. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. Whom he called, them he also justified. Not only did we walk through the doors of the church, but the preacher was anointed that night. And the saints were anointed that night. Praise God. I'm just so thankful. I'm so thankful that we have a liberty in our church. Amen. I'm so thankful. Brother Mike, it was the second service that you came that God filled you with the Holy Ghost. And if I remember right, God filled you with the Holy Ghost in the song service. It was the beginning of the service, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Did you know how uncommon that is? That's not a common thing. But I'm telling you what, God had a plan. Amen. He had a plan way back. Praise God. Before you even knew yourself, God had a plan for your life. And you came to the altar and the Holy Ghost was there and God filled you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember all of you receiving the Holy Ghost. What a glorious day that was when you received the Holy Ghost. standing 5 feet off the ground, leaving the church with such excitement and enthusiasm. You know why? Because we became justified. Amen. You were baptized in His name, and He was so gracious. He brought Calvary along your way and covered you with the blood of the covenant. Amen. And washed away your sins and set you on a pathway to blessing and filled you with the power of the Holy Ghost. He justified us just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. Complete justification, complete salvation, amen. And then the Bible says, whom He justified, we always stop there with the justification, but them He also glorified. I'm looking at you folks tonight, and you don't look very glorified. I could get into your private life and say, glorified. I'm not going to do that. I can look at you tonight and say, God, that's your glorification? You know where I see that the most is when I look in the mirror, Sylvester. Yeah, I can see why. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're just joking around here tonight. But when you look in the mirror and you say, hey, you're doing pretty good. I think I like what I see. I'll tell you what, some of you are blind if that's what you see. Well, praise the Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I'm getting off of the mark here. No, I'm not. And so we come to the house of God and we say, I saw myself in the mirror and I don't like what I see. We come in with our head down. Well, I failed over here. I failed over here. I didn't measure up over here. I fed the chickens and Dad told me 2 buckets of feed and only put 1 in there. And I just don't feel like I'm worthy of the fatted calf. You know what? We dishonor God when we do that. We dishonor the very things that God prepared for you and I, and we say, oh no, I can't do that. I'm not preaching to you only, I'm preaching to myself as well. Because you know who knows your faults better than anybody? God does, of course. But you and I know our faults better than anybody. And whether we want to admit it or not, amen. I remember my pastor was talking to someone in the office, and I was in there with him just for learning and training. And he asked the lady, he said something along the lines of, and my pastor was just my pastor, and I don't do it this way. But he said, do you feel low about yourself? And all of a sudden, the spirit rose up, and this lady said, I've never felt bad about myself. We knew that was what the problem was, is that she came to the house of God and felt so low about herself. But she covered it up with other things to try to make people think that it was different. But deep inside of her heart, she didn't feel good about herself. You know what? There's been times I've come to the house of God and I just didn't feel good about myself. I hadn't prayed like I need to pray. I haven't fasted like I need to fast. I look back at my failures, and you know what? Those failures always come back again. What did you do that for? Why did you say that? And it's always right there. Come on, somebody. You know I'm preaching to you, and I'm preaching to me here tonight. And so we come in the house of God, and we look at ourselves, and we say, Lord, I'm not even worthy to sit here on this pew. And there have been times before I get up to preach and I say, God, I'm not worthy to get up there and preach to these people. But God, would you bless them for their sake? Not for my sake, but for their sake. Bless these good people. Bless these faithful people. Bless the church. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, it becomes a fault. if all we do is look at our failures and our shortcomings and say, God can't use me. Come on now. When we say, God can't use me. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that's not the way he feels about it. All that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. And not only that, you're ever with me. Let's stand together tonight. And then he goes on and he says, what shall we say to these things? The predestined call, the justification, the glorification. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, and I've used this many times, who can be against us? Praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Y'all know some of the things that the Worths have been through in the last few weeks. Maybe some of you don't. That's fine. It's not that important. But you know how it is, maybe. If you ever go to the hospital and spend a night, they charge a lot of money. Praise God. They charge a lot of money. I've been to the hospital before, been a few years back, and it was an in-and-out procedure. And the bill was over $50,000. Sometimes things around us just look a little bit too big. And the other day, some of those things came in the mail. We opened up the envelope, and it was like, okay, praise God. But you know what? I've had a lot of those in my life. I've had a lot of those letters that have come in the mail. Praise God. I've had lots of phone calls. I've had times when folks said, I need to see you in the office, and I knew there was a problem. But it's like Brother Johnson preached when we were down in Texas. If you want to be blessed, get that message and listen to it. It'll bless your heart, as Brother Johnson always does. You know what? Fear said, you can't do this. It's not going to work. But you know what? Faith says, God is for me. All that he has. You know what? He's got much more than what's in that envelope. You can subtract that from God's account, and God's account will still be the same. It won't diminish at all, because he owns 1,000 hills. He owns the cattle in them hills. He owns the taters in them hills. Amen. He owns everything. And all we have to do is say, okay, praise God. I'm not going to get distressed. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm going down. Going down for the last time. I've been down twice, and now I'm going down the third time. Amen. Have myself a good pity party. Get myself in the mully grubs. Woe is me. Gloom, despair. Agony on me. Deep, dark depression. Excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa! Forgive me tonight. Forgive me. That's so carnal. But that's where we are sometimes. Praise God. I built this kind of heavy. If I beat my hand on it, you can't hear it, but boy, I can feel it. I wished I'd have made it so if I hit it, it would really resonate. Amen. It's not right when we say, gloom, despair, agony on me. Amen. No. I've got the blood of Jesus covering my life. I've got the love of God that is covering me. His grace is sufficient for me. Oh, praise God for his goodness, for his mercy, for his salvation, Amen. All that he has belongs to his church. All he has to say is one word and everything is going to be all right. I'm going to just persevere. I'm going to go out tomorrow and feed the chickens. Praise God. I'm going to go out and tend to the cattle. Praise God. Tend to the sheep. Praise the Lord. I'll be out on Monday doing things. And somebody will call, want to know how are the services. That's what preachers do. They call each other on Monday. How'd it go this weekend? Amen. We're all hoping for a good report. Praise the Lord. What you doing? And I'll tell them on Monday, I'm just out rat killing today. And they said, rat killing? What are you talking about? I said, I'm rat killing today. Monday's my rat killing day. Praise God. That's something that we did on the farm, rat killing day. We'd take the dog out there to the chicken house, and the rats would dig underneath and come up in the chicken house, and they would eat the chickens. So we had to get the dog, and the dog would get to digging in that hole. She'd throw her mouth down in that hole and pull out a big old rat, kill that thing. It was kind of gross, but it was fun at the same time. See those rats go, ee! Then we have eggs. Amen. We'd go to Peppy. Peppy, get him. Get that rat in that hole. She'd start digging, and one time she hit water. And she threw her nose down in that water and pulled out a big old wet rat. My rat killing day is the day I have to do all of those errands that I really don't like to do. That's Monday. You know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow? Rat killing. Praise God. I got a little bit discouraged about it one time. I said, Lord, how long, oh Lord? And the Lord said, you know what? I can fix it so you don't have any books to do. Thank you, Lord, for those rats. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to me, God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you love him tonight with all of your heart? Do you want to live for God with all of your heart? Get it down. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Get it down deep in your spirit. All that I have is thine, and you are ever with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ilamashatarakataya bahatana. In the name of Jesus, put it in our hearts, God. Put it down deep in our spirit tonight, God, that we may worship you and live for you with joy and gladness. Praise God. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many cities. Glory to God. Glory to God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. All that I have is yours. Father, touch us tonight as a church. Touch us tonight, Lord, each and individually in our hearts. Touch these young people. Touch moms and dads. Touch us, Lord. Touch all of the singles here tonight. And I rebuke a spirit of defeat. Because we are not defeated, we are victorious. We have everything we need. We have everything we need. Can we give him thanks and praise tonight?